Good day, everyone, and welcome to the UFC Fight Night Glasgow Media Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to David Allen, Vice President and General Manager of Europe, Middle East, and Africa. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning or good afternoon, depending on what part of the world you're in, and welcome to the conference call. Thank you, everybody, for taking part. This is really a truly global event, and we will have the eyes of the world watching. And from the list of runners and riders of media who are attending this call, you can see that people are attending and coming in from all parts of the world. But the most important people on the call today, we have our British fighter dialing in from the States and a Brazilian fighter coming in from Rio. So a big welcome to Michael and Talas. A little bit about UFC Fight Night in Glasgow on the 18th of July. This is really a truly, as I've said already, global card with global appeal. So far, we've announced 9 bouts, and we've got 3 more fantastic surprises to come in the coming days and weeks. And the card features athletes actually from 9 countries around the world across 4 different continents, representing 7 different weight classes. So an absolutely super night plan for everybody. And we've got the three Scottish fighters who will be fighting on home soil for the first time ever as the UFC enter into Glasgow, the first time we've ever been in Scotland. We've got 4 English fighters, and we've got 3 Irish fighters making their way across the water. Well, as I said, this will attract a global audience, whether that be in person, and we're expecting this to sell out fast, and the trend from today, from our first day of ticket sales, has been absolutely superb. You can watch this on Fox Sport 1, who are our broadcast partner for this event, and many of our other broadcast partners all around the world. With that, I'll hand over to our operator, who is really named super for this card and for this conference call. Our operator is named Dana.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. Your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's *1 for questions, and we'll pause for a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal. And we'll take our first question today from Neil McGrath with Talking Brawls MMA.
Just a question for Mike. Appreciate the time, guys. Michael, first time back on British soil since 2010. How excited are you to be back on this card?
Yeah, I am incredibly excited. I mean, 2010, that was 5 years ago, even sounds longer when you say half a decade. So for my liking, that was far, far too long. As soon as I heard about the Scotland card, I was asking Dana White about it. My last fight at UFC 186 was only a few weeks ago. And I said at the press conference immediately after I wanted to be on the Scotland card. Unfortunately, Dana, he gave me what I wanted. He gave me a call 2 days later. Offered me the fight, and as I said, absolutely ecstatic. You know, the UK is where I forged my career, and I've wanted to fight there, you know, for a long, long time. Don't get me wrong, I've enjoyed representing the UFC fighting all over the world, but as I said, the UK is my home.
And Michael, being back in the UK, and obviously this fight's going to take place in Glasgow, you know, are you going to base your camp in the United States ahead of this fight? Are you going to do anything over in the UK?
Well, the majority of my camp will be take place here as normal. And then I'll probably come out there the last 2 weeks and, assimilate over there. I mean, to be honest, I've got everything here at my fingertips, all my training partners, etc. So it would be difficult to come over to the UK and do the whole thing there. And plus, you know, my wife and kids are here for my home comforts. My wife, you know, prepares my meals for me, things like that. So, most of it here. The last 2 weeks in the UK.
Just one final question for Michael. Michael, obviously the fight last weekend. What was your opinion of the fight? And sort of a double barrel question here. 3 of the top 5 ranked guys now are unlikely to get a title shot. Where do you see yourself in the division also?
Well, obviously my last fight, solidified my position, amongst the elite in the UFC. If I get the job done and get tallied, which of course I plan on doing that with the greatest of respect, I think it certainly puts me into discussion. Obviously, Beto is out of the window now. We've got Rockhold and Jacare, which are, the next two guys in shot. let's say Luke gets the next shot, by the time he's in that fight, I'll have beaten Talis Lightfoot. And, you know, I'll almost be there. That's always been my dream, my goal, and it still is. And whilst I'm still in the UFC, I'll always want to be the world champion. And I'm getting better all the time. I'm 36, but I still feel like I'm in my prime. And I'm actually learning more and more as a martial artist, and I'm getting better. So that's always been the goal, and it still is, believe you me.
Thanks for the time today, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Brad Ward with Fighters Only.
Hi, guys. question for Michael. Do you think the British crowd can have the same amount of impact as an Irish or Brazilian crowd in pushing you forward as they do with Conor and Anderson?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that, because I did a couple of interviews last week and I said this. I said, with all due respect to the Irish, my mum's Irish, I've got nothing against them. And the Brazilian, obviously, Talis is on the line. No offence to the Brazilian. But I'm sick of hearing about the fighting Irish and the fighting Brazilian, because the UK is a nation of fighters. We ruled the world at one point. And if we want to have many, many regular cards in the UFC, we need to show them that we're a viable market that they need to pay attention to. So go out there, buy your tickets and make some noise on Fight Night, and let's have an incredible event. Because I'm sick of hearing about the fighting Irish. They're not here to take over. We're here to take over. So, as I said, go out, buy your tickets, make some noise, and let's give the world a hell of an event in Scotland.
Absolutely, absolutely. And just one more, Michael. You're both veterans in the sport. You've both had a great career. But what skills have you got that separate you from Talis?
Well, you know, to be honest, he's a very skillful guy. You know, he's been around a long time. He fought for the title. He's very, very good at jiu-jitsu. Obviously, I've got to be very wary of that. You know, I think he's got 18 submission victories. So it's no secret that if the fight hits the floor, you know, you've got to be very, very careful. But listen, I've been fighting guys like that my whole career. It's nothing I haven't seen before. You know, I've been punching guys in the face since I was 8 years old. So along that way, I've got pretty good at it. And you know, I'll be putting those skills. I'll be putting my kickboxing against his jiu-jitsu on the night. Of course, the fight starts on the feet, so he's going to swing a few punches. But I ain't going to have a hope in hell in landing one.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Don Wilson with Fight Talk Scotland.
Hey, guys. A question for Michael Bisping.
Yes.
With this fight being Scotland, how do you think the fans are going to take to an Englishman headlining an event? I mean, you've fought some hostile crowds, but do you think this is going to be any different?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously you're a Scottishman, so maybe you can answer that question better than me. I'm certainly hoping, being a part of the UK, you know, that they're on my side. I know that recently there was a vote and you all decided to stay a part of the UK. So, you know, I mean, we are one nation. We're joined by land, you know, we speak the same English. I believe you spend our money. And I certainly, when I go to Scotland, I don't feel like I'm abroad. I feel like I'm in the United Kingdom. And I'm proud that we're all one. So I'm hoping that we get, you know, I'm hoping the crowd's on my side. We certainly should be. I think we cheer for Andy Murray. So maybe you'll cheer for Michael Bisping.
I hope so. Also, you've not had the best luck against Brazilian fighters. Do you think this one's going to be any different? Are you doing anything kind of different in your camp to kind of make sure you get the win?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you look at every fight on its individual merits. Talis Lightfoot, he's very good on the floor. You know, his stand-up has got better recently and, you know, he's putting that to good effect. So really, it's a case of, you know, just doing what I always do. You know, I mean, try and get as best physically and mentally as I possibly can. Obviously, there will be extra attention paid to the jiu-jitsu area. But the thing is, just because you're fighting a jiu-jitsu guy doesn't mean you can start training a bunch of jiu-jitsu. If you've got to start doing that, it's too late. You can't catch up with somebody that's done that their entire life in an 8-week period. Fortunately, I've done jiu-jitsu. I started doing Japanese jiu-jitsu when I was 8 years old, and I've done Brazilian jiu-jitsu since I started fighting MMA, which was in 2003. So, you know, I've been doing BJJ for 12 years. I'm a brown belt, and I've done grappling ever since I was 8 years old. So I'm not overly concerned. Of course, I recognise that that's his strongest area. But, you know, if it hits the floor, I ain't going to panic.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to the event.
Thank you.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, it is star one. We'll go next to Shamat Karsandu with MMAJunkie.com.
Hi, guys. Thanks for your time. I think the chaps before me pretty much asked Bisping all the questions I had for him. So just a couple of questions for Talas latest. First of all, Talas, are you expecting any trash talk or any mind games to be played with Michael Bisping leading up to this fight?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you say, but some words. Can you speak, please?
Can you repeat? No worries. Are you expecting any mind games, any trash talking, anything like that to take place leading up to this fight with Michael Bisping?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't care about the trash talk and if you want to say something bad about me. But what important to me is that, you know, we're going to make a good fight. He's an ex. I would like to fight the thing for a long time, and now it's the time, you know. When the octagon is closed, it's just me and he inside, and we're going to do a great job. Doesn't matter all the trash talk, doesn't matter the crown, you know, doesn't matter enough. It's just me and he and the judge inside.
And do you think the fact that, obviously, Michael's quite used to fighting in main events and fighting in five-round fights, or preparing for them at least anyway, will you be changing your training at all? Because obviously you've been involved in many fights that haven't been five-rounders in the past, but will you be changing anything in your training to prepare for that?
Yeah, of course. I'm training very well. It doesn't matter if it's I did most of my fights in three rounds, but five rounds is just two rounds more, and I'm ready. And, you know, I've been training with my team. I'm strong mentally and physically. I'm ready for all the situations. It doesn't matter what happens inside the cage, we'll be ready.
Okay. And just one question for Michael. Mike, obviously, you know, Vitor, you know, lost on the weekend. And I know you've been quite, you know, vocal about, you know, so have the other fighters that he beat during his run, you know, using TRT. But would you like to still get a fight with him somewhere down the road, a rematch with him?
Well, of course, I would like to avenge any loss on my record, but I'm not sure avenge is the correct word. I mean, he was on TRT, so he was kind of at an unfair advantage. Yes, I would like a rematch, but also I'm focused on the title, so I don't really want matchups that aren't going to do anything for me. Of course, Vitor, you know, I owe him a kick in the head or a punch in the face. It's as simple as that, and whichever way around we get it done is fine by me, but as I said, I'm focused on the title, and a fight with Vitor right now isn't really something that's going to help achieve that. But certainly, as I just said, you know, I would love to push that guy in the face.
Thank you very much, guys.
And we'll take our next question from Andreas Georgio with MMA Plus.
Hey, guys. Thank you for your time. Firstly, a question for Michael. Now, with the way things have matched up, you're number 9 in the rankings. Talas is number 10. You know, Are you happy with that matchup? Was there any other options, you know, around there for you?
Well, yeah, I am happy with the matchup. I mean, rankings, you know, are all well and good. The good thing is I find somebody within the top 10. If it was outside the top 10, I wouldn't be interested. But Talas, since he's come back to the UFC, you know, he looks very, very good. I think he's done a 5-5 win streak inside the UFC. That's very, very hard to achieve. So make no mistake, he's you know, he's a very, very tough opponent, but I believe I match up well. There is names out there that perhaps would be more recognisable to the casual MMA fan, but anybody that's followed MMA for a while, they know who Talas Vitas is, they know what he's capable of, and I know that he's a dangerous opponent. But that said, make no mistake, I'm not letting some Brazilian fly over to the UK for the first time I've fought here in 5 years, beating me in front of my home crowd. So it doesn't matter whether it's Talas Vitas, Anderson Silva, Lyoto Machida. It could be anybody from Brazil. Regardless, you're going home a loser, and that's a fact.
Obviously, it's already been mentioned, you know, you are fighting in Scotland and not England, but do you feel the sense of a homecoming, you know, coming over and headlining such a historic show?
Yeah, 1,000,000%. You know, I'm going to be on UK soil, you know, and I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to fight here again. It's been far too long. Of course, I was supposed to fight Mark Munoz a couple of years ago, and I had to drop out, unfortunately, to injury. So I've been really itching to fight over there again. I mean, as I said earlier, that's where I forged my career, and it's because of the support of the UK crowd that I've had such a great and long career, and I'm eternally grateful for that. And, I'm very conscious of the fact that, of what I just said. So, I want to fight there. That's my home. I am an Englishman, but I'm expecting the Scottishman to be on my side as well. And we're going to have an amazing event, I'm sure.
And lastly, Michael, just want to ask you a clarification on a matter. You know, the past weekend, UFC 187, Uriah Hall, he lost to Rafael Nadal. You offered him some condolences on Twitter, but the way that Uriah Hall reacted to that afterwards, he sent a tweet directed at you saying basically he wants a fight. You know, can you offer any confirmation on the matter, like how that came about? Because a lot of fans seem to be confused.
Yeah, well, I'm as confused as anybody. I've been in a training room with Uriah Hall on a couple of occasions at Rain Training Center. I was working the Wayne Show for Fox. Said a couple of comments, but nothing negative about Uriah. And then for some reason, the guy started sending out abusive tweets. I mean, you'd have to ask Uriah Hall. I mean, I think the guy's a bit of a head case. Obviously mentally weak. And that showed in his fight against Rafael Nadal. So, we have the same manager. So that's why I sent a nice tweet. You know, I said, look, listen, you'll learn from that mistake. He's obviously got a lot of potential. But I'm not after starting any rivalries with Uriah Hall. I've got a big fight ahead of me in Talis Laitis, and I want to be world champion. So all I'm thinking about right now is Talis Laitis, the problems that he brings, and the show that I want to give to the people in Glasgow.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Steven Morocco with MMAJunkie.com.
Hey, Michael, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So you mentioned same management company a second ago. And I have a question for you and also for Talis as well. Do you think that in light of the Reebok deal and the changing landscape of sponsorship in this sport, do you think it's necessary to still have a manager at this point? Let's start with Michael.
Well, that's a very loaded question. And with all due respect, Stephen Morocco, I think that's a conversation for another time. I'm here to discuss my fight with Talis Laitis. I'm not here to discuss politics, stuff that goes outside of the octagon. I'm here to promote a fight. I'm here to tell the world that I'm going to destroy Talis Laitis on the 18th of July live in Scotland. So tune in. Don't miss it. Buy your ticket. If you want to discuss the Reebok deal, go talk to some other staff. That'll give you what you want.
All right, fair enough. You're not touching that one. How about Talis? You gonna touch that one?
Yeah, just can you repeat to me, because the call is not 100%. I can't hear you very well.
Sure. It's the question is it necessary to have a manager at this point in your career?
I'm you don't understand. I'm sorry, man.
So. Is it necessary to have a fight manager in light of the Reebok deal and the way things have changed in terms of sponsorships?
Yeah, I can't hear what you say. I hear you say something
about
manager.
The problem is, Stephen, the question is so stupid that Talis can't understand you, because I knew when he said Stephen Morocco, with the greatest of respect, that you were going to ask some kind of tricky question. So... Oh, well, that backfired.
I'm sorry about that, Michael.
Maybe you want to ask something on topic.
Yeah, hey, I'll ask about... I want to ask you about UK MMA. You're an Englishman living in Huntington Beach, but I'm wondering if you have any sense of... If you talk to your mates back in the UK and you have any sense of like where the sport is at in the UK at this point.
Well, I am an Englishman living in Orange County, but I still go back to the UK very frequently. I still have my house there. I go over there and look after my mum and whatnot. And I have business things going on over there as well. So I'm over there quite a lot. And, the UK MMA scene, if I'm not mistaken, you know, it certainly had a huge growth area in the early 2000s. It kind of had plateaued off a little bit, but there's a huge, huge hunger and appetite for it. You know, it's certainly more widespread than it ever has been. And, you know, this card coming up in Glasgow is exactly what people have been itching for and dying for. They've been waiting for a card in Scotland for a long time. The reaction that I got on Twitter from everybody is just nothing short of incredible. So I know that there's a huge market, a huge hunger and thirst for this sport, and UFC Glasgow is going to give them what they want.
How do you look back at your time training over there as a fighter, as a member of the Wolf Slayer? Do you look upon it with fondness, or is it sort of a neutral, or is it negative?
Well, I started off training when I was 8 years old, and I've only lived in I'm 36 now. I've lived in California for 3 years. So the majority of my life, all my life, I've trained in the UK. And the Wolf Slayer was only a very small period of it. I think I was with them for 2 years. So I've been a lifelong martial artist. And I often said this to everybody at the time, because people said, oh, do you need to go and train in America to make it to the top? And I said, no, absolutely not. You know, as I said, I've only been here for 3 years. I've been in the UFC for 10 years. So, you know, of course, I look at my time in the UK as great training. There's great training partners, great coaches. You know, we're a great sporting nation. You know, what brought me out to the US was the fact that, you know, professional opportunities are more abundant here. Obviously, the sport being much more widespread, you know, more potential sponsors and things like that. It wasn't anything to do with the training potential in the UK.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel when you watched Vitor get beat this past weekend? Was it a good experience? Did you feel nothing?
It was a bittersweet experience because I looked at him. He looked like half the man he used to be, quite literally. His legs were like two little chicken legs dangling out of a female's body. And he looked like, to be honest, my 14-year-old son could have beaten him up. And Chris Weidman made him look like the coward that he is. So, yeah, I enjoyed seeing him, but it was also a bittersweet because I would have loved the chance to get to done that.
Are you rooting for Luke Rockhold at this point, or do you not care who's sort of next ahead of you?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I mean, I had the fight with Luke Rockhold. He headbutted me, and, you know, that kind of affected the outcome of the fight. So I'd love a rematch with Luke. But when I look at Chris Weidman, of course, I respect the guy. He's a great champion and a great person. But I believe I match up very well with Chris as well. So, you know, regardless of who it is, you know, I mean, as I said before, I'm focused on my fight with Talib. You know, that's going to be a tough matchup for sure. So I'd be a fool to look anywhere else. And then once I'm done with that, you know, regardless of who's champion, you know, I'll be confident in my ability.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
Okay.
We'll take our next question from Jade Morris with MMA Mad.
Hi, quite a lot of the questions have already been answered already, but I have a few that I can continue to ask you. So this is a question for Michael. You said, obviously, you will not lose in front of your home crowd. You don't want that to happen. So how do you predict this fight will go? Have you got a certain game plan?
Well, you know, I always kind of fight the same way. You know, I'm a kickboxer by trade. That's done a lot of grappling, but I always like to try and go for the knockout, you know, punch them and kick them as much as possible. Of course, here and there, you know, it is a little more complicated than that. You know, you do have a certain game plan. But as Mike Tyson famously said, everybody has a game plan until you get punched in the face. And then you've got to rely on your training, you know, and your instincts and your ability to read the situation. And that's kind of what goes on. You know, you go out there and you take what your opponent gives you, and you make changes as you go along. As you said, I've never lost in the UK, and I certainly don't plan on starting now, certainly after so much time away. You know, I feel like this fight, my return there, has been, you know, anticipated for a long time, and I want to come home and be triumphant. I want to give everybody the fight they want to see, the victory they want to see, and in the style that they want to see. They want to see an exciting fight, they want to see a knockout, and that's what I was training for over the next 8 weeks.
And obviously, with you being over in America, I can imagine that your family in the UK don't get as much time to come and watch you. Are you going to have all your UK family come out and watch the fight?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, If I had a pound for every time somebody's asked me for tickets now, I'd be a rich man and I wouldn't need to fight in 8 weeks. Yeah. So everybody's coming out of the woodwork. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in the nicest way possible. Old friends, all my cousins, aunties, uncles, brothers, sisters, you know, you name it. They're all very, very excited about the potential to come to see me fight. So I'm like, look, listen, guys, I can't possibly get you all tickets. Go to Ticketmaster.com. So I think everybody's falling out on me now because I won't get them tickets. We have somebody from the UFC on the line. If you want to, you know, throw me a few hundred tickets, feel free. I'm expecting the crowd to be on my side, but also I know I'm going to have a lot of friends and family there as well. So I'm very excited.
And obviously, you know, you're chasing the title. You're very interested in who's next. Now, if you do win this fight, is there anyone, I know you've been asked quite a few times, but is there anyone you do have your eye on? Because obviously people have mentioned with Luke Rockhold. What about someone like Jacare Souza, or would you rather wait and see what happens? Or is there someone you really do want to fight next?
Yeah, the people I want to fight next are Luke Rockhold, Chris Weidman, and Jacare Souza. They would be the top three names in the division. And certainly, a win over Rockhold or Jacare would get you a title shot. Weidman is the champion. I believe one of those guys is going to fight for the title next anyway. So, you know, either one of those guys would be a dream opponent after Tally Gladys, but I would be a fool to look past Tally. You know, that's lesson number one. Never underestimate your opponent, never look past an opponent, and I'm not doing that. So, you know, we'll discuss that in 8 weeks after I send Tally home with a sore backside. You know, we'll discuss who I fight next.
Great. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Louise Green with MMA Crazy.
Hello, Michael. Question
Hi.
For you. Hiya. A lot of people were expecting you to fight Nasati. What did you think of his comments that he said recently about, you know, let's not challenge him as he overreacts? You know, what was your comment on that? And then also, is that something that you still look forward to, maybe a fight with him in the future?
Yeah, I think a fight with myself and Musashi makes a lot of sense. You know, we've both been around similar amounts of time and we're both similar ranked fighters. So, yeah, it certainly made sense. I took no offence to it whatsoever. We are professional fighters. And, you know, that's what we've got to do. We've got to get opponents. And I thought it was quite funny that he said he had to say, he's not calling me out because I overreact. I don't think I overreact, but I have been known to, you know, be a little controversial at times. So, yeah, it was all good. It actually made me smile, made me laugh. I took no offence to it whatsoever.
Okay. And obviously, Latest is coming off of an eight-fight win streak, sorry. Does this worry you at all?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, I'd be a fool to say, oh, no, I couldn't care less. You know, but really, I couldn't care less. You know, listen, I fought way better competition than what Tally's has. You know, you look at my record, he's the who's who of MMA. Yeah, he's recently started fighting top-flight competition again. But last time he was in the UFC, wasn't cutting it. He went and fought all around the world, got some wins, came back to the UFC, beat a bunch of no-marks, and now he's fighting good competition again. Yes, I do respect the fact that he's beating those guys, but I ain't crying myself to sleep about it, worried.
And then obviously, as we've said earlier as well, that obviously it's your aim to get the middleweight belt again, to get back up there. What do you think it's going to take now for you to get up there again?
Well, obviously, it starts with, you know, a good win over Talis. And I think another win after that for sure. But definitely a win over Talis and a good performance. And then after that, it would have to be somebody else, you know, inside the top 10, one of the top contenders. And I think after that, I think the fact that I've been a top 10 contender, you know, for so long in the division, and then, you know, if I got on a 3-5 win streak, then I think that would do it. I think that would get me the title shot.
Okay, thank you. And then for Talis, what was your reaction when you found out that Bisping was your next opponent, and how do you think the fans are going to react to you in Glasgow?
I'm sorry, can you repeat?
So what was your first reaction when you heard that Bisping was going to be your next opponent? And how do you think the fans in Glasgow are going to react to you?
Okay, my first reaction was happy. Because I would like I said, I would like to fight with Bisping for a long time. And now this fight is coming up. And fighting in UK, especially in Scotland, is very nice to me. Because it's the main event of the night and against a great opponent. And in Scotland, the land that I would like, my dream, visit this place. I'm a big fan from William Wallace, from the Braveheart movie. And all that story inspired me a lot. I have a tattoo on my ribs with the sentence from of William Wallace. And fighting on that land will be very special to me, a lot of energy involved to me.
And how will you react to
saying,
sorry,
can you say again?
Sorry, say again.
Sorry? No,
so
it's
how do you think the fans... how are the fans going to react to you, obviously? This thing's going to be the favorite going into the fight.
The fight, in my opinion, will be explosive fight. He fight forward, I fight forward. We will be, fighting forward every time. And of course, I'm being proven my stand up game, and he's excellent on stand up game. Okay, and this is MMA. It's not only a box, not only a Muay Thai, and not only a Jiu-Jitsu. We have to be ready for all the situations, and I'm ready. And I know that he will be ready, and we're going to make a war there.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
And just a final reminder, it is *1 for any questions. We'll go next to Chris Gilmartin with STV.
Hi, Michael. Chris here. Thanks for your time. Most of the questions have already been asked, but I was going to ask you what you make of the current crop of Scottish fighters who are now breaking into the UFC, like Stevie Ray, Rab Whiteford and Joe Calderwood.
Yeah, well, I've known for a while that there was great potential and some great gyms and fighters in Scotland. So it was only a matter of time before they broke into the UFC. And of course, Joanne Calderwood got into the Ultimate Fighter with incredible hype, and I think a lot of people were expecting her to win. Unfortunately, she didn't, but that doesn't mean she's done. She's got incredible potential. I know she's training with a great team, and hopefully it's only a matter of time before she gets the belt. Stevie Ray, I mean, that guy has got endless potential. He really has. It was actually a friend of mine that put me onto him quite a while ago, so I've been watching him for a while, and his last fight was incredible. I know he took the fight on short notice, and he looked sensational. So, as I said before, it was only a matter of time. There's been great gyms in Scotland for a while. The Dinky Ninjas is one I'm thinking of. They've been churning out quality fighters for a long, long time. So, it's no surprise that they're in the UFC, and it's no surprise that we're fighting in Glasgow, and I'm sure there's going to be many, many more events in Scotland to come.
Great. And I'm just wondering, obviously, you've been in California for 3 years now. Is there anything you kind of miss about the UK?
Oh, my word, absolutely. So many things, first and foremost, the people. I miss the sense of humour and the people. Don't get me wrong, it is a nice place to live out here in America. And I've been here for a while now, and the kids, they're integrated into school life and things like that. So, if I had my way, I would move back to the UK. My wife's looking at me now. She's giving me a dirty look. My wife's Australian. She loves the sunshine. She loves the lifestyle here. She wasn't overly thrilled with the rain every day in the UK. So, but that was kind of half the reason. She was yearning to go to Australia to be with her family again. But, the training situation down there wasn't really what I needed. So we compromised on California.
Sure.
Of course, at that time, I had a lot of opportunities in America. And being a guy from a small town, with not a lot going on, I would have been a fool not to take those opportunities. So I did that. And I don't regret it, but I do miss the UK. I miss my home. I miss my family. I miss the weather. I miss the lush greenery. I miss going for walks and dogs down the river. I don't miss the food, and I don't miss the weather. But other than that, I miss a lot of things.
Great. Well, hopefully there'll be sunshine in Glasgow when you guys arrive.
Yeah.
And just a final I'll see what I can do. And just a final question, Michael. I'm sure the 13,000 fans inside the Hydro will be backing you, and it's obviously an event people have been waiting here for years to see. If you had one message for the Scottish fans, what would that be?
Message for the Scottish fans would be, first and foremost, you know, thank you for having me, and you know, I hope they cheer for me. I'm coming to Scotland to give them what they're paying to see. You know, they want to see a great fight, and I know Talik is going to be a great opponent. He's going to give that as well. I'm coming up there. I'm going to literally dedicate the next 8 weeks of my life to giving them what they came to see. Of course, I want to do it for myself. I also want to put on a hell of a show for the UFC, for the people of Glasgow and Scotland that are going to part ways with their hard-earned money. So come out, have a great night, enjoy it, and please cheer for me.
Thank you very much, Michael. Cheers for that, and good luck, both guys.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Shamat Karsandu with MMAJunkie.com.
Hi, Michael. We've spoken in the past about you potentially fighting Anderson Silva, and you've gone on record as saying that for you, that's as good as a title shot. I just wanted to find out if you still feel the same way about him.
Yeah, Anderson was for a long time a hero of mine, even though we were in the same weight class and I wanted to fight him for so long. You know, you could not admire and respect, you know, what he did inside the octagon. Of course, you know, the things that he did still stand, but there has been a bit of a cloud lately. So it was a shame to hear about the test results. Of course, he stated that there was something wrong or whatever. So I don't know. It's just disappointing. Would I still like to fight the guy? Of course, I would. I'd still love to get in there in the octagon with him. But, you know, he has fallen a little bit recently. So it's not something that's, you know, the burning issue that it once was. You know, I've fought many guys over the years that have used performance-enhancing drugs. So obviously, I have a very dim view of that. You know, I've always been a hard-working, honest-working guy. You know, the only thing I take is protein shakes. And that's it. You know, blood, sweat, and tears go into my preparation. I've had injuries in the past from guys using performance-enhancing drugs. So, and this sport has no place for that. We're not trying to put balls in hoops. You know, it's a fight. So you shouldn't be going out there and doing those things. So anybody that does that, I immediately lose a lot of respect for. Now, of course, you know, the sentence hasn't been delivered, and we're yet to see what happens. So I reserve my judgment until the athletic commissions make their decision.
Speaking of, you know, PEDs, what are your thoughts on the Nevada State Athletic Commission coming out with more stricter punishment for future PED offenders?
Yeah, I was very happy. I know that the UFC for a long time have been trying to do what they can to clean the sport up, but ultimately it does come down to the athletic commissions. They're the guys that regulate the sport. I agree with almost everything that what they did. Of course, you know, some of the penalties now are very, very harsh, and financial penalties as well as suspensions. So, of course, I'm very happy about that. Some things in there that are maybe, you know, a little too strict, or maybe, you know, things like if there's a sleeping agent, a sleep aid in your system, you might be banned for 2 years. Now, of course, if you choose to do that and break the rules, that's your problem. But I know sometimes there can be certain products, things in products that maybe you didn't know you were taking. So that would be a little worrying for somebody to get banned because they trade and they were to be banned for 2 years. Things like that is a little concerning. But listen, if you're taking performance-enhancing drugs and you get caught, in my mind, you should be banned for life. So I'm very happy to see that the Athletic Commission have decided to bring in much harsher penalties.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And we'll go next to Neil McGrath with Talking Brawls MMA.
Sorry, is David Allen still on the line?
Yes.
David, sorry, just ahead of UFC Berlin, obviously next week or in 2 weeks' time. Has the German TV deal been finalised?
No, we're still working through the details of that deal, but we're really looking forward to what's going to be a super night down there with our first world championship fight being held in Germany on the strawweight belt. So a great night for everybody to come and see live at this moment in time.
Grant, and just one for Michael. Dana recently made comments. He said that you would, not some knockout pair, you'd be a world champion a long time ago. Is that an insult or a compliment? How do you take those comments from Dana White?
Yeah. You know, of course, you always choose your words carefully when you're discussing Dana. He's the boss, and he's been a good friend of mine for a long time. Listen, I understand what he's saying. I didn't get the knockout that night, and I hit him with many shots. But the fight after me was Quentin Rampage Jackson, and I think everybody agrees that Rampage has, you know, big knockout power, and he didn't get the knockout. So the point I'm trying to make is that you can't always get the knockout, you can't always get the finish. You know, if you look at my record, I'm tied for third for the most knockouts or TKOs in UFC history. And I would counter Dana's statement with that statement of my own. So I'm certainly capable of finishing people. I joined the UFC at 10-0. They were all first round knockouts. And as I said, I'm tied for third or second, and second or third for the most knockouts in UFC history. So I've certainly got knockout power. And I'd just like to remind Dana of that little stat.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we have no further questions at this time. I'll turn the call back to Mr. Allen for any additional or closing remarks.
So thank you to everybody for taking their time today and everybody listening on UFC.com as well. And a special thank you to Michael and Talis for taking the time out to express their views. We really look forward to seeing everybody in Glasgow on the 18th of July. And remembering that tickets go on sale this Friday. We look forward to seeing you all then. Thank you, everybody.
Sally,
thank you. I appreciate it.